Welcome, all you sinners and sodomites, to episode 53 of Bible Stories for Atheists. I am Josh.
I'm Linz.
And we are your guides to the laughingly lamentable stories, literally, literarily littering the Bible. Yeah. Just
playing around, are you?
Yeah, I get bored. Gotta switch it up.
Yeah.
Gotta have some fun with it.
I see.
Today we're covering 1 Samuel chapters 8 through 10 for the most part. A little fuzzy, like a little bit of verses before and after.
I think. there's no concrete.
Yeah, they did a really bad job of chopping up the chapters
in
this. So you end up with like one verse that has to go into the next episode or something like that, you know?
Right. We get to learn about the history of how monarchies were created.
Yeah, in Israel.
And it is interesting.
Basically a beauty contest or a height contest.
And you hope that Samuel hadn't called the wrong name like Steve Harvey did that one time.
Yeah.
Oops.
That's what I'm always going to remember Steve Harvey for. I don't know what else there is to say
about this episode.
We're introduced to Saul. That's the big thing.
Right.
We're learning about Saul, who's going to be the first king.
Beautiful dummy of a man.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't strike you as a particularly clever person.
No.
We really don't know anything about him besides he was good looking.
Right. And that's what I was just going to say is like, he doesn't do anything that makes you think he's a dummy. But I feel like when they have to point out that someone is very attractive, it is because they are kind of a dummy.
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise, like, why point that out?
Right. Yeah. It's like, but I know what you're thinking, but good looking, you know?
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah. Super attractive.
Right.
Tall.
Tall. Head and shoulders tall. This is where the shampoo comes from, I think. Anyway. Strap in and strap on for episode 53. Samuel saw Saul. I remember when I first started hearing about Lewis and Clark. We're really going on a tangent here.
Well, you don't have to put any of this in the podcast. No.
Yeah. I remember, though, it was right around the time that the show Lois and Clark was on TV.
And you were learning about Lewis and Clark.
Yeah, and I kept thinking like, oh.
You thought Superman
somehow factored into his
girlfriend.
Yeah. Somehow factored into the foundation of our country.
Discovering along the Mississippi, yes.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
I see what sort of education you were getting.
Right. Small town one.
I got one of those too, and yet.
And yet.
Boys are dumb.
You're just saying that because until I was 10 years old, I thought his name was Auntie Anna Jones.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Not until 10, but when I was a little kid.
You did?
Yeah, when I was a little kid, I thought his name was Auntie Anna Jones.
Auntie Anna Jones.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that just because you thought that's what people were saying? Because if you would have read his name, you would have realized that Indiana does not spell Auntie Anna.
Yeah. I don't know if I was reading really at this point.
I see. That explains a lot.
Yeah. Or at least I didn't read his name. Like I saw the movies and stuff.
Which have his name in them.
No. They don't actually. Yeah. Like in
Indiana Jones.
The Temple of Doom. The first one does not. For the record.
The first one
is just Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay.
Like I probably wasn't paying attention to
likely
the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to first of all recommend to folks a podcast I've been listening to. I just finished it called Call Bethel.
Okay.
That is from The Telegraph in the UK. It's a podcast about child sexual abuse and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's really good.
Depressing sounding.
It's definitely a downer. It's only five episodes, I think five or six episodes long, but they did a really good job of exposing a bunch of bad practices by the Jehovah's Witnesses and attempts. It basically just attempts to cover up.
It's really just like organized religion is a beacon call for fucking male perverts.
Yeah. Well, that was one thing.
And maybe
that was,
some lady perverts. Yeah. I don't know.
That was one mostly thing that was male. Interesting at the end of it. The way they had things set up, it was almost like it was possible for other child predators to protect other child predators, you know? So, yeah, the whole thing, every time I hear about this stuff, though, it's like there can't be that many people who are interested in having sex with children. But I mean, like. Like the amount of people that have to help them, it's like there's something else going on in their mind because they can't tribalism. Be like, what's that?
It's tribalism.
Maybe.
But like cult status tribalism.
Yeah.
Like because, you know, we have tribalism.
Right.
Like we have our groups of people. Right. But I would never protect any of them from child sexual assault allegations.
Right.
Even That's, you.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It makes sense. Like, it's just there's a weird thing to people where it seems like they just don't care about it.
Right.
Like there's
it's
the people
who. It's more
important
to them to keep the religion going, to keep the cult going than it is to like, I don't protect children.
Yeah.
Except when you hear people who are religious talk about it, you would think their whole mission on earth is to protect children.
Right.
But in their actions, they're always doing the exact opposite of that.
Yeah. They also talk about people who they were in charge of investigating one of these crimes and stuff like that. And they wouldn't take no for an answer of as far as like, no, this person needs to be reported and stuff. And so there are people who do that too, but I don't understand why that's not like
the norm.
99% of people. And it clearly isn't.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, this has nothing to do with religion, but the Penn State scandal.
Yeah.
Weird calling it a scandal because it's not a fucking scandal. The bunch of.
That was Jerry Sandusky.
Yeah. And it was covered up by a lot of people at that school. And they talk about this one football player that came into the showers while Jerry Sandusky was
raping a child.
And he didn't go directly to the police.
Right.
And I'm like, I would have stood there and called 911 immediately.
Right.
Because even if like they weren't next to each other, a child and a grown man naked in a shower together, unless that's dad and that's child. And even then, at a certain age, it's still weird. Yeah. Like, and I would have like, they would have known I was there too. Because my instant very first reaction would have been like, what the fuck is going on here?
Right.
And then maybe attacking the man. Yeah. Cutting off his penis. And then calling 911.
It would have escalated quickly. No matter what happened, it would have happened quickly.
It is weird. Like, there's got to be psychological studies behind that sort of stuff to like, I mean, you know, it's wrong.
Yeah.
But what is stopping people from doing it?
Right.
And I know religion, to me, that makes more sense. But you know what? There's tribalism in fucking college level football, too, in a weird way.
Oh, sure. Sure.
So.
I mean, with that, you definitely have a loyalty aspect to it that has been ingrained in you. That you do not go against your coach or your team, I would imagine, at least. I was never a big sports guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, you definitely have that.
There's a level of fanaticism that goes along with sports that is also there in religion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. Anyway.
Listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
What is it called?
It's called Call Bethel.
Call Bethel.
And then also I wanted to tell you, so my mom called this last week and told me an interesting Jehovah's Witness story.
Okay.
So a friend of our family is like from back in the day, a Jehovah's Witness friend of the family is in a nursing home now because they're all aging out. And this guy that was his roommate has dementia and he's in his 90s. And he just got disfellowshipped.
The guy, okay, wait.
Who's in his 90s with dementia.
Was just disfellowshipped.
Was just disfellowshipped. And
this, is this the friend of the family you're talking about?
Then? No, it's somebody he knows.
Okay. His, okay.
So that's how we found out about this.
So he's in an old folks home specifically for Jehovah's Witness people, it sounds like?
No, I mean, I don't think it's specifically. They don't have those kinds of resources.
Just happenstance that they both happen to be Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, they might have like gone to that nursing home because a bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses go there, but okay. Like not like,
gotcha,
it's not like the Catholics where they have the ability to set up nursing homes specifically for right. Catholics.
I gotcha, yeah. Okay, so so this 90 something year old man with dementia is just disfellowshipped from the Jehovah's Witness because that's right. A priority,
right? Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't know why he okay. was disfellowshipped. My mom suggested like he probably like pinched a nurse or something like that, you know, like something along those lines.
Oh, can it be something as simple as that?
Could be.
So men are out there touching children inappropriately, but this old dude in his dementia probably did something they didn't like, and so they disfellowshipped him.
Right.
Exactly. Right before he dies.
Right. Which luckily, it actually has nothing to do with your soul. You know, right. like they're yeah. actually being disfellowshipped. Has no impact on what happens to your consciousness after death. Well,
no, of course not.
That's the nice thing about this. But it's just like you said, it's so fucked. He does. I
mean, maybe.
I mean, who knows what he's thinking if he's in the state of dementia, but you know, it's fucked up that they would have prioritized it, like you said. So,
and how did they find out about it? Did his roommate, did your friend of the family, not your friend.
Yeah. This guy who used to be a friend of the family.
Did he tattle?
Might have. I don't know.
What a shit.
Wouldn't have surprised me. Yeah. That's the thing that's fucked up about them is they all like to talk about each other.
Well, yeah, of course. It happens in any group scenario. Yeah. They're always talking shit about each other.
Right. Anyway, so that was just a weird thing that she brought up. And I was like, oh, that's fucked up. Especially right after listening to that podcast. Previously on BSFA. The Israelites lost a battle with the Philistines despite having the Ark of the Covenant.
Dumbbox.
Almost like it didn't really
matter. Like most things.
Yeah. And the Ark was stolen.
But booby-trapped.
Booby-trapped. That's right. The Philistines had a tumorous breakout on them, so they sent it back.
And a plague of mice.
And apparently a plague of mice, yeah.
Yeah.
So they had to make gold tumors and gold mice and send that back with the Ark.
Right.
And then some Israelites opened the Ark and
died.
Yeah, their faces presumably melted, like the documentary Raiders of the Lost Ark with Antiana Jones.
Now I want to see like this indie version, indie version of Indiana Jones, but it's
an
like
anti version.
But it's got an anti in it. Anti Anna. Yeah. But like anti
his aunt.
But anti in like the sense of like, you know, how like not in the white community, but in like non-white communities, they'll call like good friends or like dominant women aunties.
Yeah.
That's the sort of auntie I want to see doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not your
bitch,
white.
Bitch, give me the grail. Yeah. Make Israel great again. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. Yet his sons did not follow in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us, then, a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them.
just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up from out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them.
Interesting that he has the same issues Eli had with his kids.
Yeah.
It made me think that, you know, it's kind of similar to when we were reading Genesis and stuff like that.
They're like, Nepo babies.
Well, it made me think that maybe that's a story that sometimes was ascribed to Samuel, sometimes it was ascribed to Eli, and they kind of ended up combining stuff. Yeah. And
or it's just a very convenient plot device to have bad children.
Right. I don't know if it comes up again, though.
That his children are bad?
Yeah.
I mean, does it need to?
I don't know. But it's not like Eli's where it kind of, you know, that played into them losing the Ark of the Covenant and stuff.
Right. But it sounds to me more like they're not following the way, but are they still judges, or were they all like, I don't want to do this, and then like quit and ran off?
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, I'm so sick of hearing God bitch about the thing.
Like, what's the point of being God?
Oh my God.
If you can't just, you know, Thanos this shit and fix it. It's so
crazy how constantly he's like, they don't want to believe in you anymore. Just like they never want to believe in me, even though I created them. And it's like, oh my God, dude, shut the fuck up.
I'm starting to think God has like codependency issues with Israel.
It seems like you're saying you have zero power over these people. And I know in long term, like the thing you can ascribe that to is like, well, God gave people free will.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, but he can also just wipe them out en masse.
Yeah. Also, God clearly did not give people free will.
Right.
He keeps like hardening people's hearts.
Right.
And making sure they don't
turn
away because he wants to kill them. So.
Right. It's like when you have that friend that constantly is like, nothing good ever happens to me. The world is out to get me.
Yeah.
And like the whole time you're just watching them like blow all their money on bullshit they don't need and like not try to go get a different job or date guys who are like actually good for them. And you just want to be like, stop complaining. You make bad choices. If you're going to keep making bad choices, then bad things are going to happen to you.
Right.
And this isn't, I'm not saying this about everyone who has a bad time in life. I'm just talking about particular friends.
I know. Like, as you're describing that, I'm like, I know exactly who she's talking about.
It's like, okay, well, let's really think about things in the grand scheme here. And I feel like that's God.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you should try some time apart, you know?
It's almost like the whole idea of Jesus, like in the New Testament, was created by somebody who literally was like, oh my gosh, God just won't shut up about how everybody hates. And maybe we need to like bring God to earth and like have him be around the people.
Yeah.
And then maybe if we can focus on like this human version of God, then we don't have to keep writing about how God is upset with the shit that he made constantly.
Right.
Nobody wants to hear that anymore. Yeah.
Maybe if we can just make it so that God just forgives you a lot.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You just ask him to and he does it.
Right.
See how that works?
See how much easier this is? And see then it's spread like wildfire.
See how many more people will join now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers, He will take 1/10 of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And on that day, you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you on that day.
When you hear stuff like this in some of these writings, I think it's because from what I've heard, like from what I've read around Samuel and, mm-hmm. and getting into this part of the Deuteronomistic history, some writers were like anti-monarchist and some were pro-monarchist. And okay. this is probably from an anti-monarchist.
Sure. When you first started reading it and you were listing off all the things the king was going to do before each started talking about them taking like the land and stuff, I was like, yeah. well, it just sounds like he wants to give them jobs.
yeah. Put them in place of
he's going to give your children jobs and get them out of your fucking house.
yeah. Be commanders of thousands yeah. and commanders of 50s.
Yeah.
yeah.
Interesting.
I know. Yeah. And it's kind of like he really just shits on the whole idea the whole time.
Right.
But then, you know, ultimately goes with it.
Sure.
You know?
He appoints yeah. a king at the end of the day.
Yeah. I don't think this really comes up until around not Solomon, but the guy, I think that's it was Jeroboam or Rehoboam who came after Solomon. I might be totally wrong about this, but Solomon's son, I think, is when they, the north and southern kingdom split again. And it's because Solomon had like used missim tax. I don't know if you remember this from a while ago when we talked about the biblical history. There's this thing where you could say, I think it was like 10% of your time itself, your labor time, would have to go to the state. And so that's how he got the temple built. The first temple built was saying everybody has to help build it. Yeah,
like an Amish community.
Right.
Yeah.
So essentially made them slaves,
right.
you know, to the state.
Sure.
And so maybe this has something to do with that, but also yeah. I don't think the first temple was ever built, so I don't know. But there's stuff like that.
But
that
it is historically accurate when through time as societies evolved and they ended up going with like the monarchist sort of method of governing where they had one person who wasn't elected above a whole city. You know, they would, in order to build a city in a time where they didn't have that sort of infrastructure, they 100% would have used that sort of labor.
Yeah.
Like if you want to live in the city. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course they would always say like, we're not forcing you to do it. This is what you get from living. This is what you have to do if you want to live in the city.
Right.
And there are benefits to living in the city. Like if you get sick,
walls.
If you get sick. Yeah. I mean, we have an army to protect us. Labor starts becoming less diversified. So instead of having like in your family, everybody knew how to do like make shoes and clothes and farm and make bread and all that stuff. Like jobs starting getting diversified. So like you had your baker, you had your person who made shoes and stuff like that. And when you lived in a city, since you were losing all of the skills that you had from the agricultural society, then it was a benefit to be in a city. As we know, even today, it's a benefit to be in a city because there's way more things available for you to do and use and things like that. So they would use that to their advantage to get people to do what they wanted them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still ingrained in our society today.
Right.
I mean, think about it. The draft, being conscripted being in the military, you are giving up a portion of your time for the government.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
History of society, mm-hmm. 101.
History of the state forcing itself on its people.
Yeah.
On its people.
Yeah.
And then the chapter concludes with this. But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, we are determined to have a king over us, so that we also may be like other nations, that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice and set a king over them."
Samuel then said to the Israelites, "Each of you return home."
It sounds unrealistic to me. I've always thought it sounded unrealistic that Israelites were like, "We want a king." Yeah. Like what people ever say, "We want a dictator over us." But then nowadays, you think of all the people who wanted Trump to basically be a dictator, who didn't want him to have any oversight over him, right, and stuff like that.
Well, and everyone says that they don't want to live under some sort of like non-democracy. But like back then, without the sort of level of communication you have instantly these days, like to have an army that was controlled by one person or one family or one fucking governmental agency or whatever made sense. I mean, you can't have a bunch of, if you want to win battles and therefore land and power, you need an organized military, and you can't organize a military if you have a bunch of like essentially village leaders trying to organize like a mass military.
Yeah. You need to have a central decision making place.
Right.
Yeah.
And to me, it sounds like that's what they want. Right. They're sick of getting attacked.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it is true. That is like what keeps coming up throughout judges and everything, is they keep getting attacked.
Right. So. And God usually helps them. But like at some point in time, you have to have an army that puts enough fear into other areas that they won't even bother attacking you anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting because, you can't tell from this if the people actually wanted it, or if that's just the propaganda.
Sure. You know? Yeah, it could go either way. And it could be that some people did.
Some people did and some people didn't.
Obviously, there's always, as we know, there's differences of opinions in all societies.
Right. Yeah. So, at the end of the day, all we know is that it did happen.
Yes.
We know that there was Kings were, there was a king
who showed up. And do you know, and we don't have to discuss it now, and something we can discuss later, but did you do any research on like, when the first king showed up in actual history, like how they
of were, Israel?
Yeah. How was it Samuel? Was Samuel an actual person who appointed the first king, or?
So we can't say for sure that David existed.
Right.
Okay. But we're pretty sure Solomon did.
Okay.
So one of the things that they look at for trying to determine that is extra biblical references to it, or not even extra biblical. It's like literally outside of Israel.
Okay.
So it's not even just other writings within Israel. It's, you know, do any other cultures mention King David
or the Romans?
Yeah.
And I
think there might have been like one reference to David or something like that. It's inconclusive. So I don't think we know for sure if David existed. Probably did. I think we do know that Solomon existed, and that's kind of like from then on, we kind of know these people existed. Now, you know, what do we know about them that's real?
Right.
Is a different issue.
Josh, don't you hate it that you never know what the weather is like outside?
Boy, do I. I look outside and I'm like, what?
You need Charlie 10, the latest weather app that all the kids are going crazy for.
Did you say charlatan?
No, Charlie 10. Look, I just pull up the app and see that it's currently raining.
Weird. Mine says that there's a blizzard.
You're wrong and I'll kill you over it.
Whoa, what the hell?
That's how the app works. Everyone gets different results when they look at it. Then you just need to convince everyone else that they're wrong and you're right.
But how do we know the actual weather?
Have faith in the app, Josh.
But it tells us different things.
Believe in the app, Josh. And use promo code BSFA to unlock amazing features such as pseudoscientific memes to share with all your friends.
Charlie 10 is only available in the continental United States, the only country where weather could be an opinion.
Saul 2024. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, a man of wealth. He had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the Israelites more handsome than he. He stood head and shoulders above everyone else.
Now, the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, had strayed. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take one of the young men with you. Go and look for the donkeys." He passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalesha, but they did not find him. And they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then he passed through the land of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to the young man who was with him, "Let us turn back, or my father will stop worrying about the donkeys and worry about us." But he said to him, "There is a man of God in this town. He is a man held in honor. Whatever he says always comes true. Let us go there now. Perhaps he will tell us about the journey on which we have set out." Then Saul replied to the young man, "But if we go, what can we bring the man? For the bread in our sacks is gone, and there is no present to bring the man of God. What have we?" The young man answered Saul again, "Here, I have with me a quarter shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way." Formerly in Israel, anyone who went to inquire of God would say, "Come, let us go to the seer." For the one who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer. Saul said to the young man, "Good, come, let us go." So they went to the town where the man of God was.
I like how they had to add that little caveat in there that was like...
Formerly it was called a seer.
Yeah, just an FYI, guys. I know that's like a pagan thing now, yeah. But like...
It was literally a parenthetical, yeah. Too. Yeah.
So this is the most attractive man in all of Israel?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's like you hear that stuff and it's like, well, you can't trust any of this shit. It's all propaganda.
Well, and also like, listen, attractiveness is objective.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some classically attractive people that I think everyone would be like, yeah, they're attractive. He's just roaming around the countryside looking for donkeys, being all hot.
I guess. So, yeah.
Looking for some ass.
Yeah.
This hot guy is roaming around the countryside looking for some ass.
With a young boy.
Oh.
All right. and then the fact that, like you were saying with the seer thing, it's like, did they not know that Samuel was the chief priest? Like,
right.
You know, it's interesting to me that they're not mentioning that he's like the chief priest of,
he's just a prophet
of Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the seer. Yeah.
Right. Because previously they said that Samuel would hop around.
Like, yeah. Then you would travel.
Yeah.
So it's not a circuit every year.
Right. Yeah. So you would think that like. He would be well known far and wide.
Right. Yeah. It's so it strikes me again as like one of those things where it's different stories that have been compiled together.
Right.
You know,
and what has he talked about that has come true?
That's a good question.
Because I know that he's talked to God.
Yeah.
And God has told him things.
Well,
but they've been kind of like.
There was ambiguous. There was predicting that both of Eli's sons would die in the
that
same
is
day.
True.
That was one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he say that to Samuel? I thought that came from the dude.
Samuel said that.
Oh, I thought that was the guy that was mad.
Oh, so the man of God did say that, but I think God also said it to Samuel because, you know, he was being repetitious again. But yeah, there was no real good point of him saying that to Samuel.
Right.
Just to reiterate it to
Can I just Eli. Point out too that like this subplot of like they had to travel all the way to where Samuel was to look for their donkeys.
Yeah.
What a thin veiled sort of plot point. Do donkeys really run that far away?
And are they really that valuable?
Are you going to chase donkeys? Like if we're here and we're in Grand Rapids and like our donkey, that sounds like we would have to walk to Detroit.
Right.
I would never chase a donkey to Detroit.
On foot.
No.
Yeah. That's on the other side of the state, just for those who don't know.
Well, I mean, maps exist.
Yeah.
Do some work.
If we reference Detroit, it's up to you to go to Google Maps.
There are two big cities in the state of Michigan. And
we're the other one.
We're the other one.
As they went up the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" They answered, "Yes, there he is, just ahead of you. Hurry, he has come just now to the town because the people have a sacrifice today at the shrine. As soon as you enter the town, you will meet him before he goes up to the shrine to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, since he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those eat who are invited. Now go up, for you will meet him immediately. So they went up to the town. As they were entering the town, they saw Samuel coming out toward them on his way up to the shrine. Now, the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send to you a man of the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be ruler over my people, Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen the suffering of my people, because their outcry has come to me." And Samuel saw Saul. The Lord told him, "Here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall rule over my people."
I didn't realize they had NPCs in the Bible.
You did that. But the whole time I'm like, I understand why you read it like that, because by the time you got done, in my head, like I was acting as Saul, and I was just like, I just asked where he was.
I know.
Like, you could have just said, there he is.
It was this whole exposition thing that just got rattled off.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally, you could have just said, yes, there. Yeah, there he is.
Right there. Yeah.
I didn't need to know any of the rest of that at all.
Right.
This is the guy who chased a donkey across the country is the person God wants to put in charge of the Israels. Right. Israelites.
If he looks this hard for a donkey, he's going to do well for Israel.
Qualifications. He's still living at home with dad.
Yeah.
Is it just that he's hot? It's just that he's hot, right?
I think so. I think that's the only thing we really know about
him. It's true.
It really is.
Yeah.
That and he had donkeys.
Yeah, right. And they weren't his donkeys.
No.
They were his dad's donkeys.
Right. I know. So far, that's literally all we know. And it doesn't work out. It doesn't, just being hot does not help.
Ruling a country?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I think that's why most kings in like history have been like not attractive.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think being attractive and being a king of a country are concentric circles.
Right. Yeah.
Voted leaders, on the other hand.
Oh, yeah. That definitely gets you into power.
That you can definitely be attractive there.
Yeah. This was going to be a much longer reading, but then I cut it down because it gets real boring. But Samuel is dropping hints that Saul is important. And Saul is like, "Hey, I'm just from the smallest tribe and the smallest family. And what makes you think I'm so great, guy?" And...
"Hey, guy, what makes you think I'm so great?
What makes you think I'm so great?" So they eat. Saul gets a special portion of meat that was set aside in advance for him to show, like showing up. And at sunrise, Samuel wakes him up with a blowjob and and sends him on his way. But before he goes, he says, "Tell the young man to go on before us. And when he has passed on, stop here yourself for a while, that I may make known to you the word of God." So he's going to tell him.
Wait, what?
He basically saying, let the kid
go
on ahead, and I'm going to tell you what God's plan is for you.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you noticed this during the reading. I did have trouble with one line, and I thought you might enjoy hearing one of the other versions.
Oh, yeah.
Or a few of the other versions.
Yeah.
When Samuel saw Saul. This is full of tongue twisters.
I'm like, headed.
Samuel saw Saul. The more I said it, the worse it got. It was one of those things where, like, very quickly the words lose all meaning, you know, When Samuel saw Saul.
The funniest part is that I can actually picture you doing it too in your frustration. You mean like it's just three fucking words?
Yeah.
Come on, Josh, you can do this.
There were parts where he was saying when Samuel called Saul, and I was, oh,
I'm crying.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you send that to me? I want to use it as my ringtone.
Every time I call you, when Samuel saw Saul.
Yep.
Yep. You all right?
Yeah.
You gonna make it?
I think so.
Shamala Hamala.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give a shout out, because I don't think we've ever actually ended up talking about this.
Kevin James Thornton?
Yeah, on the podcast. But you found this comedian, really awesome gay comedian. Yep. I got it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, and he's on TikTok, and he does a bunch of these videos that are really great of talking about growing up in a fundamentalist church in the 90s.
Yep.
And what it was like. So this is one of the videos that he does.
In my super fundamentalist church, we did not speak in tongues, but we were open to the idea of speaking in tongues. And that Sunday morning, I sort of knew I was going to do it because I'm dramatic. And in the middle of the service, I said out loud, Shamala Hamala. And everyone around me was like, oh my God, it's happening. And everyone started saying, Shamala Hamala. And I was sort of like, you guys are just copying what I'm saying. But now we're all crying, saying, Shamala Hamala. And my pastor said it was the language that angels spoke. And I imagined the scene in heaven where the angels were like, what's up, Jesus? Shamala Hamala.
It's never not funny.
He's so fucking good. He's got a ton of those videos too where he talks about that. So I definitely recommend looking them up. That's Kevin James Thornton. Just thinking of that when we go into this next chapter here. Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him. He said, the Lord has anointed you ruler over his people, Israel. You shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you shall save them from the hand of their enemies all around. Now this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you ruler over his heritage. When you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb. They will say to you, the donkeys that you went to seek are found, and now your father has stopped worrying about them and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on from there further and come to the Oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from them. After that, you shall come to Gibeath Elohim, at the place where the Philistine garrison is. There, as you come to town, you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the shrine with harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre, playing in front of them. They will be in a prophetic frenzy. Then the Spirit of the Lord will possess you, and you will be in a prophetic frenzy along with them, and be turned into a different person. Now, when these signs meet you, do whatever you see fit to do, for God is with you. You shall go down to Gibeah ahead of me. Then I will come down to you to present burnt offerings and offer sacrifices of well-being. 7 days you shall wait until I come to you and show you what you shall do.
A prophetic frenzy, eh?
Prophetic frenzy. Yeah, it's interesting that he's like calling all this out of like, this is what's going to happen. And I don't know why he needs signs considering Samuel is the chief priest.
Right.
And you would think that would be enough for him to be like, oh, I guess this is real.
Yeah. You know, yeah. But God told him. Do we get to learn about the prophetic frenzy?
We do hear about it. Okay. Yeah. It's not like,
because to me, great, that was the most exciting thing that came out of. Yeah. Oh, it's not a great.
It's not. I mean,
Shamal Hamala is better.
Yeah. Shamal Hamala is definitely, it's hard to top that. but it does happen. And it actually happens to him a couple times throughout.
Oh,
before Saul dies. So what?
Does he just have seizures?
Yeah, I don't know. He gets it from other people who are having seizures, maybe. I wonder if that's a thing.
No.
If two people are, like, if somebody else is having a seizure, does that cause a seizure in somebody else?
No.
No?
Okay. Absolutely not.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never known anybody with epilepsy, so.
Yeah, no, it's not. Somebody else's seizure. First of all, if you don't have epilepsy,
yeah,
you're not going to have a seizure because somebody else has a seizure.
Well, yeah.
If you have epilepsy and somebody else has epilepsy and they have a seizure, that's not going to spur on a seizure.
Right. It's not like hiccups or yawning.
Hiccups aren't
contagious. I feel like it is kind of contagious. Like if somebody else has hiccups, you might get hiccups. Maybe not. Maybe I am just thinking of yawning.
I think you're just thinking of yawning. Yeah. And that's an empathic behavior.
Right. Auntie Anna Jones.
That's just going to be our new phrase whenever Josh is like, I'm tired of talking about this.
As he turned away to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs were fulfilled that day. When they were going from there to Gibeah, a band of prophets met him. And the Spirit of God possessed him. And he fell into a prophetic frenzy along with them. When all who knew him before saw how he prophesied with the prophets, the people said to one another, "What has come over the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" A man of the place answered, "And who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Saul also among the prophets?" When his prophetic frenzy had ended, he went home. Saul's uncle said to him and to the young man, "Where did you go?" And he replied, "To seek the donkeys. And when we saw that they were not to be found, we went to Samuel." Saul's uncle said, "Tell me what Samuel said to you." Saul said to his uncle, "He told us that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingship of which Samuel had spoken, he did not tell him anything."
Yeah, it's interesting that it said that God gave him another heart, which makes it sound like Saul was like, fuck no, I'm not doing this, you know?
To me, it sounded like he was like in one of the levels of like Zelda.
Okay. Oh, like he literally got another life heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bloop. Yeah.
And then he went and he fell into the frenzy just as Samuel said he would.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, what was the proverb that came out of that?
Is Saul also among the prophets?
How is that a fucking proverb?
I don't know.
That's a question.
Right? Like a proverb is supposed to be something that's like wisdom.
Yeah, like an Aesop's fable sort of thing, right? That's what the proverbs are.
I think so.
Like they're little stories at the end, and then they have like a little thing at the end of Aesop's fables that's like, slow and steady win the race, right?
Right. Like that.
That's a proverb. Yeah.
It's a proverb. Yeah.
Right.
I would say.
A question is not a proverb.
No. You know that classic moral from Aesop's fables, did the turtle win the race? Yeah. So I don't get it.
And he's keeping a secret. He's keeping it a secret from his family.
Right. He it says that, but yet again, something that never comes up again. Ah. You know, so Samuel talked about going down to Gilgal ahead of me and I will come to you in 7 days and stuff like that. But they don't really talk about that. Mm. And that's going to be kind of significant in the next episode, too. The fact that they don't talk about that, but. Samuel summoned the people of the Lord at Mizpah and said to the Israelites, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt
and I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of the kingdoms that were oppressing you. But today you have rejected your God, who saves you from all your calamities and your distresses. And you have said, no, let's set a king over us. Now, therefore, present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans. Then Samuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was taken by lot. He brought the tribe of Benjamin near by its families, and the family of the Madarites was taken by lot. Finally, he brought the family of the Madarites near, man by man, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken by lot. But when they sought him, he could not be found. So they inquired again of the Lord, did the man come here? And the Lord said, see, he has hidden himself among the baggage. Then they ran and brought him from there. When he took his stand among the people, he was head and shoulders taller than any of them. Samuel said to all the people, do you see the one whom the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people. And all the people shouted, long live the king.
It feels very Wizard of Ozian. Wizard of Ozian. It feels like it's out of Wizard of Oz. Because, you know, when you get to Oz, it ends up just being this big production, right?
Pay no attention to the man in the baggage.
Right. Well, but like Samuel knew it was going to be Saul. And yet he goes through this whole thing
of doing
the lots. And when you first said lot, I was like, the dude?
No.
But no.
Drawing lots. Yep. Yeah.
But
or casting lots.
So like that was rigged, clearly.
That was rigged. Yeah.
And then
In theory, you know, it's God making the lots come.
Yeah, it's rigged. And so of course Saul knows it's gonna be him because he was told. So he chickens out and goes and hides in everybody's baggage.
Yeah.
And I'm just picturing like the scene from E.T. where E.T.'s hiding in the stuffed animals.
Yeah. Saul's there.
Just a little head poking through.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then they bring him and he's like tall. So that makes him king.
Right. Yeah.
Basically, Samuel's like, see the tall.
No one else is like him.
See the tall, hot man amongst you? Yeah. He is now your king. And everybody's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, he is tall.
And hot.
Yeah.
So
I don't see
all hail the king.
I don't see any other credentials needed. Yeah. And also, I kind of thought it was funny that Samuel's like, you rejected God, you dicks. Now, where's this fucking king? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, but it's crazy to me. I still go back to like, it's crazy to me that God can't understand why they would want like a person in charge. Like one person.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make sense to have? I mean, basically, they had Moses. He was essentially their king.
In essence, yeah.
He, or
you could think of him as a chief priest, but or like a pope.
But kind of, I mean, similar things, though. You had one person in charge.
Yeah.
So it just blows my mind that God can't understand that, like, people just want to be organized.
Right.
And they're not saying, like, this guy's going to replace God. They're just saying, like, we just want one dude to make the decisions.
Yeah.
We're tired of making decisions.
Right. None of us understand what you want.
No, we just
want to because you don't speak clearly to us.
We just want to fucking plow fields.
We just know you're pissed.
And like eat food and like fuck and like get on with our days. And we're constantly being attacked. And we just want one dude to like figure it out.
Right.
So we can just go day by day. And we can still do fucking church on Sunday or whatever the fuck it is you want us to do. Mean,
probably Saturday. Yeah.
True. But anyway. So, yeah, he's so, what a fucking pussy. So sensitive.
Saul or God?
God.
Or,
I don't know. He's so sensitive. Yeah. It's just so crazy. What a fucking overly sensitive deity.
Right. Samuel told the people the rights and duties of the kingship, and he wrote them in a book and laid it up before the Lord. Then Samuel sent all the people back to their homes. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, and with him went warriors whose hearts God had touched. But some worthless fellows said, how can this man save us? They despised him and brought him no present, but he held his peace.
It's just one lone dude that's like, this guy?
What? Because he's tall?
I don't really understand
how. The one sane person.
Yeah. I don't know about this guy. This seems arbitrary.
He just seems handsome. Why was he hiding in the baggage?
We all hate you now. You get no presents.
Who had baggage back then, too?
Well, they did all travel.
I guess.
They had their sacks.
It just sounds like he's in a hotel.
I know. Yeah. They just apparently all piled up their baggage.
Right. They all
How did they keep track pile. Of it?
Yeah. Anyway. Well, they had a ticketing system.
I see.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta give this.
They use Samuel. Samuel would predict whose bag
this
was whose.
Is that guy is over there. Yeah. I feel bad for this guy, this unnamed man who was like the lone
voice of reason.
Voice of reason. That's like, I don't know about this guy. This seems like not a good idea.
Right. I have a strange feeling this is gonna end badly.
You know, you know what we could do instead? We could all like nominate people who we think would do a good job and then vote. No?
Which?
No, just one guy is going to pick him based on God?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This will probably work out.
Right. Unless this is another punishment from God. Right. Do we know?
I guess like at least he's nice to look at. I don't know.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Everybody hates me now. Well, this didn't work out the way I wanted it to.
At least nobody will ever know about this.
It is a weird thing. I mean, I guess maybe I get why they put it in there, but it is kind of an odd thing that that one guy dissented.
Yeah.
And they were like, in the Bible, they're like, and this one guy dissented. And everybody hated him.
Well, it says some worthless fellows.
Oh, fellows.
Yeah.
Dissented.
So there was a few people.
Okay.
But they're worthless.
Right.
Yeah.
And everybody hated them.
Again, like, spoiler alert, Saul dies and is rejected by God at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
So you would think that these guys would be like then highly favored.
Right. Like, I don't understand why it seems so propaganda-y towards Saul throughout this writing. It's an interesting
thing like, about as it. You read through it, too, you like obviously God doesn't want this to happen.
Yeah.
He's just doing it because he keeps giving these people what they want, even if he doesn't like it.
Right.
Very generous. But
then getting pissed at them.
Yeah. In like a very genie sort of way, right? Where every wish they ask for that he grants comes with some sort of unintended consequence.
Right. Yeah.
And so these guys are like, I don't know, guys. I don't think God wants this. And they're like, oh, you must die and never have presents.
And never have presents.
That's what they said. They don't get any presents.
Yeah. Never have presents. So that's the end of the
what fun
chapter, right? Yeah. And what's interesting too is they don't like it. Sounds like they made him king,
right?
But they didn't.
Didn't they say all hail,
all long live the king?
Long live the king.
But he's not king yet, apparently.
Yeah, he's got to be like crowned and shit still, right?
Yeah, there's definitely more in the early in the next episode that we'll get to that. Where they actually seem to then make him actually king, even though he's got like military people who are coming with him.
Right.
You know,
and you said Samuel wrote up basically like the job description. So really, Samuel is the one. He's the guy behind the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly.
Definitely. Yeah. And he's going to pick the next guy, too.
Right.
Yeah.
After this one doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Surprising no one.
No.
Especially those fellows who are like, I told you so.
Right.
You guys hated us and said we should kill ourselves, and we didn't because we knew we were right. Who's not getting presents now?
I think that's that's it.
Cool. Yeah,
next time we'll get a little bit more into Saul's story.
Right on.
But this was the introduction to Saul.
I look forward to seeing how terribly this goes.
Yeah, me too. all right. They all lived miserably ever after. Thank you so much for checking out our podcast. Help us grow the audience by sharing us with your friends or giving us a share on social media. And we love hearing from you. You can reach out on our website at bsfa.cc. When Samuel saw Saul,